Hey, this week, how Panasonic is using internet honeypots to improve IoT device security. A new Windows 10 ransomware threat. Hackable karaoke and walkie-talkies found by Witch. Witch is the name of the company. Anyway, Linux bug opens most VPNs to hijacking. A new Office 365 provides detailed information on email attack campaigns. And Google confirms critical Android 8, 9, and 10 so-called permanent denial of service threats. In the expert commentary, we welcome Tyler Robinson, the Managing Director of Network Operations at Nisos, to discuss Sophos uncovering new versions of Snatch ransomware. All that and more on this episode of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly, for security professionals by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
Make sure your team is prepared to fight off the latest cybersecurity threat. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team skills up to date. You can stream IT Pro TV courses live and on demand, so there's no need to send staff to off-site training. Team subscriptions include Pro Portal, so managers have full control over your team's training schedule. Go to itpro.tv/hack-naked and use the code HN30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off your monthly membership. Let the team at Black Hills Information Security test your defenses. With over 10 years of experience in penetration testing, red teaming, and threat hunting, the testers at Black Hills will help you find the holes in your security before the bad guys do. The team at Black Hills cares about educating and sharing their knowledge by creating countless blogs, open source tools, and webcasts for you to learn more about the tradecraft of pen testing and red teaming. Visit securityweekly.com/BHIS to join their mailing list and view the latest blogs and webcasts from Black Hills Information Security. Welcome everyone to Hack Naked News, episode number 245 for December 10th, 2019. I'm your host, Paul Asadorian. Mark your calendars for the Security Weekly holiday extravaganza on December 19th. Security Weekly will be live streaming 6 one-hour panel discussions with some of the most knowledgeable professionals in the industry. To round out the evening, Ed Skotus will be joining the Security Weekly host to give his annual announcement about the CounterHack Holiday Hack Challenge. You can view the live stream or go to our YouTube channel directly. On our website, if you go to securityweekly.com/live, watch the whole thing, and we'll record it and release it later as well in case you miss it on the 19th. And now the security news for this week. Panasonic is using internet honeypots to improve their IoT device security. I thought this was really cool. Like, if you wonder if people can hack into your stuff, why not just put it out on the internet and monitor it and see if they really can? So in order to ensure development teams have as much information about potential security vulnerabilities in products as possible, both unreleased and on-the-market products are placed in honeypots, which are monitored to gain insight into how devices are attacked by real-world hackers. The quote from the article says, "We deploy our real-world appliances as a honeypot, and we collect attacks and malware targeting of our devices. We can deploy products under development as well," according to experts at Panasonic. Their IoT threat intelligence platform has been active for 2 years, and in that time, the company has collected information on about 30 million cyber attacks and 4,000 kinds of IoT malware, all attacks that are targeting real devices put through the security tests. A new Windows ransomware threat examining claims of a potentially unstoppable vulnerability. Well, I mean, let's first clear up the very sensational headline. First off, this is a vulnerability in Microsoft CFA, the controlled folder access. The idea behind CFA is pretty simple. If you haven't prevented malware from executing on the system, CFA can at least provide protection by thwarting the main thing that ransomware does, which is encrypt key files. An example of one of those bypass techniques that has led to the vulnerability is dubbed RIP technique. It looks better when you read it. In any case, the malicious code replaces the file with its encrypted version rather than deleting the file first. Based on conversations with Niotron, which is the company that found this vulnerability, and several other techniques, this situation occurs due to an error in the way that CFA is monitoring files to protect them Also important to note, Microsoft's really not motivated to fix this issue. Birth certificate data laid bare on the web in multiple states. Basically, someone's operating with their pants down and really has no clue that they're doing so. The open S3 bucket that was found uncovered more than 752,000 applications with names, email address, phone numbers, family member info, dates of birth for the reason of for making the application. According to TechCrunch, which verified the data, the bucket is still opened and updates are daily to this bucket. In 1 week, it added 9,000 applications to the database. The owner didn't respond to multiple contact efforts, and Amazon said that it would notify the owner, but no action has been taken, according to Fidus. For that reason, the company has not been named. So somewhere out there on the internet, there's a data leak, and they're adding stuff to it all the time. So if you can find it, you can have access to that information too. Hackable karaoke and walkie-talkie toys are found by Witch. Witch is the name of the... It's Witch with a question mark is the name of the company, which is really super confusing when you read the article. But it looks like basic Bluetooth pairing vulnerabilities. They say a stranger could, for example, use VTech's Kitty Gear walkie-talkie to pair to another one of the devices being used by a child from a distance of up to 200 meters... for those playing at home, that's 656 feet. The Bluetooth pairing devices would have to take place within the 30-second window when it boots up once the child's device has been activated, which also found that the singing machine SMK250PP karaoke machine had been designed so that a stranger could stream audio to a child from a distance of up to 10 meters because the Bluetooth connection did not ask for authentication. Linux bug has opened most VPNs to hijacking. According to researchers at the University of New Mexico and Breaking Point Bad, the bug, which is being tracked to CVE-2019-14899, allows an attacker to determine if a user is connected to a VPN, the virtual IP address they have been assigned by the VPN server, and whether or not there is an active connection to a given website. In an advisory released this week, they noted that once a proof-of-concept exploit allowed them, which it was a proof-of-concept, now the concept has been proven, allowed them to determine a VPN client's virtual IP address and make inferences about active connections, they were then able to use encrypted replies and unsolicited packets to determine the sequence and acknowledgement numbers of connections. This allowed them to hijack TCP sessions and inject data into the TCP stream. You should go read the original research as was posted. There is a link in the article that links to that because it's really cool. Well, I guess if you're using VPN software on Linux or Unix-style operating systems, it's not so cool. Microsoft to end updates for Windows 7 free AV software security essentials. I mean, let's face it, if you're still on Windows 7, you probably need something better than security essentials from Microsoft. But in any case, your Windows 7 computer is not protected by Microsoft Security Essentials after January 14th, 2020, said Microsoft in a support document, mainly concerned about the extended security updates being shilled to enterprises. MSE is unique to Windows 7 and follows the same lifecycle dates for support, according to Microsoft Security Essentials. The free AV program that launched in 2008 was originally limited to consumers. However, in 2010, Microsoft expanded the licensing to small businesses defined as those with 10 or fewer PCs. 2 years after that, MSE was replaced by Windows Defender with the launch of Windows 8. Since then, Defender, of course, has been baked into follow-up versions of the operating system, including Windows 10. Windows 7, though, has been stuck with MSE. Moral of the story, like don't get off Windows 7 as soon as you can. New Office 365 feature provides detailed information on email attack campaigns. This is cool stuff from Microsoft as they announce capabilities that will provide security teams with summary details about the campaign, including point of origin, pattern, timeline, size, and the number of victims. Additionally, it shows a list of IP addresses and senders and data on messages that were blocked, zapped, sent to junk, or quarantine. Zapped is, I think, what they call when a user flags or the system flags something as part of an email phishing campaign, or allowed into the inbox, for that matter. Campaign views will also include data on the URLs used in the attack. This information, Microsoft says, should help organizations more easily secure affected or vulnerable users, improve their security posture by eliminating configuration flaws, investigate related campaigns, and hunt and track threats that use the same indicators of compromise. Basically, from multiple emails, they can tie that back with the data that they have to a given campaign. Not 100% of the time, because nothing we ever say is 100% secure or vulnerable or exploitable, whatever. Anyway, the Snatch ransomware is pwn security using sneaky safe mode reboot. We'll cover this in the expert commentary. I did want to note that on Paul Security Weekly, episode 482, researchers from CyberArk Labs in 2016 created or disclosed this type of attack where basically safe mode disables much of the protections available in Windows, even on third-party endpoint protection. I don't want to spoil too much because we're going to talk about it. In 2016, when I was talking about it to people, nobody cared. Maybe people will care now that it's a cool technique. In any case, we'll find out more coming up next. But first, Google confirms a critical Android 8, 9, and 10 what they're touting as a permanent denial of service. Track to CVE 2019-2232. It's been rated as the most severe of the three critical vulnerabilities addressed in the December Android Security Bulletin, which is still being rolled out. Takes about a week and a half. I have not gotten it on my phone yet, so don't send me the Java payload or whatever it is to trigger this, because that would suck. The official NIST, National Vulnerability Database, description of the vulnerability says that the improper input validation in the handle run of textline.java could create a possible application crash. In other words, a maliciously crafted message could cause a denial of service to your Android device. Somehow that ends up being permanent. The source code and like the patch is all available out there, so attackers could probably pretty easily figure out how to exploit this. And again, these updates are still rolling out in the December Android update. In all Android versions, 8.0, 8.1, 9, and 10 are vulnerable. If you're not running a Google Pixel phone, your updates are going to be delayed even further. So good luck to you. With that, we'll take a short break and return with Tyler Robinson. Stay tuned. The question is simple. Have any of the systems on my network been compromised? The answer is harder than it should be. Enter AI Hunter. Active Countermeasures has automated and streamlined techniques used by the best pen testers and threat hunters in the industry to create AI Hunter, a network threat hunting solution that does the first pass of a hunt for you to identify systems that are most likely to be compromised and scores the results on a scale from 0 to 100. You can then research those systems in depth with AI Hunter. Focus your valuable time on the systems that need your expertise with AI Hunter. Sign up for a personal demo today at securityweekly.com/ACM. Welcome back to Hack Naked News. I'd like to welcome Tyler Robinson, making his first appearance on Hack Naked News. Tyler, welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
And today we're talking about a variant of the Snatch ransomware that is rebooting PCs into safe mode, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty it's pretty sneaky. Honestly, again, like you were saying, not really a new technique, right? Definitely something we've seen before, and honestly, it's not really that difficult. It does provide some interesting thought processes around, you know, can this be used in offensive operations? Are there things that we can start to see for maybe potentially malicious exploit kits that are going to reboot into safe mode with networking? Maybe the installation or stage zero happens at safe mode and the dropper just happens, you know, right before that. So it does provide some interesting thoughts and some scenarios that I think attackers have already exploited and looked at. It's in a kit, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. Interesting.
I think when I was telling a bunch of my pen tester friends about this in 2016, they were like, that's cool, right? I'll keep that kind of in my back pocket, but right now I really don't need that because I can bypass endpoint protection all day long without rebooting into safe mode and running the risk of a user or administrator noticing that all of a sudden, you know, PCs are booting into safe mode. Like that's kind of weird, right? You could potentially detect that on the network, but it does offer the attacker certain luxuries of, you know, basically endpoint security software not getting in the way in safe mode is what they found in 2016. Yeah. Now, I don't know, like it's a cat and mouse game, right? I don't know what's transpired in that time Maybe some endpoint protection companies are onto that. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the main reasons why a lot of this malware is having to adapt and add these feature sets, right? It's getting to be much more difficult for the evasion piece and this cat and mouse piece, especially if you're offering a product that is commercialized. So, you know, on the dark web or with inside of the criminal organizations, they're selling off this access or these kits or the ability to do the ransomware, the tools. And if you're selling a product, just like any other product, you have to be able to maintain it. It has to be able to function. And so getting around a lot of this new EDR and the capabilities and the protections that are there, they're having to get a little bit more creative, and something that's going to last a little bit longer is obviously safe mode. I think it's kind of an interesting path to take for longevity purposes. Safe mode does offer some very interesting things, but again, this applies a lot to the local system, right? If you're going to be in safe mode, unless they're using safe mode with networking, which it doesn't look like they're doing, and they're just encrypting the local data, right, then that obviously has its limitations. But again, I think this has a lot of potential for things like implants, persistence, some stage zero stuff where you're not trying to deploy your regular toolkit with the all-watching eye of EDR, right?
Yeah, it was interesting. I remember from that original interview that they said that you could reboot the system in safe mode, but then change certain settings in Windows that makes it look like you're not in safe mode. So in this case, they're just ransomwaring it, right? This is just their path to encrypt the hard drive, which in this use case makes a lot of sense, right? But if they do want to maintain persistence, maybe you don't even reboot back into the regular operating system. You try and keep that user in safe mode.
Yeah, I think you can, again, adapt this to be a much more stealthy technique where you're rebooting and you're allowing the graphical settings to come up. Some of the safe mode things you can disable. Obviously, you have networking capabilities and making sure that all the functionality of the network is working. If you have those particular pieces, then the average user, how are they going to know whether they're in safe mode or not? And again, that applies back to the EDR, AV, even DLP. Like, does that mean if the DLP is operating on the host level, does that mean that the DLP is going to miss stuff because the service doesn't start? So there's definitely some interesting ideas here.
Yeah, and I find it interesting too that, you know, a lot of the applications won't be running if you reboot in safe mode. And of course, you can gain better control over the system in safe mode, but all the data is still there, right? And if you reconnect the network, you can connect to other things and pivot, and all the data on the host is still there. Just, you know, some services aren't running.
Yeah, and again, this is so simple from the standpoint of the reboot process and setting the registry key for the service. So all the attackers are doing is setting a service and if I remember right, it's a H key local machine. Mm-hmm. It's a service parameter that just says safe boot, safe boot, that allows that service to boot in safe mode. So again, there's nothing super crazy technical here to make this happen, and then, you know, fix your BCD edit, reboot, and now you're off to the races in safe mode.
So, now, I do need administrator access to set those registry keys and reboot it in safe mode?
To reboot in safe mode, I'd have to check on that, but for the H key local machine, yeah, definitely, you have to have administrator access. So again, it goes back to the principles of not letting that local administrator access out of control.
Right. I think some of the arguments back then were, well, if I'm already admin, like, I'm good. I don't need to reboot in safe mode. But I think, like we've already established, a lot of the protections are really getting to be a pain in the butt. And if you want something that's going to be ubiquitous and just run regardless of what's on there, right, why leak? Well, from the attacker's perspective, right, why leak your sensitive tradecraft when you can save that for other campaigns? And this campaign, look, we're just going to reboot in safe mode. That's 85% effective or whatever. And so we're good. We're off to the races, right?
And I think ransomware kind of has a different problem to solve, right? A lot of what they're trying to do is scale and or automate. Mm-hmm. And so the automation piece, the access in which they're trying to build the scripts and have it laterally move, and they don't want to have operators on keyboard or have to put that time in for each individual system that they're encrypting. This is volume and scalability for profit, just like any other corporation, right? So again, they're trying to fix that problem of automation, making it easy and being able to bypass and not have to know every EDR or perform enumeration or reconnaissance and have different, you know, different attacks for each one of those. They're trying to solve it all in one swoop, which, again, not new, but very novel and a pretty creative idea.
I mean, and this is, there's other protections that you're missing, right, when an attack gets to this point. But if we look at just the safe mode rebooting, how do you prevent against that? I mean, you don't necessarily want to prevent all of your Windows machines from going into safe mode, right? That could be bad.
That could be bad. The prevention, honestly, like, again, not a lot of it goes back to the initial access vector. A lot of what the report that Sophos put out was talking about was the initial access that these attacks are typically taking. And we've seen this common across almost all ransomware is people are failing at the fundamentals. People are exposing RDP, VNC, TeamViewer. They're exposing all of these services directly to the internet, or they have a poor password on them. And these simple fundamental things are, that's how you get ants, right? That's the first start. So A, don't get the initial infection, which from a ransomware and automation standpoint, you're going to be the low-hanging fruit if you are getting that piece. And then two, really it goes back to the administration piece. Don't let your admin stuff out. Have good passwords. Host-based firewalls for, you know, host-to-host communication. Why does your clients need to be communicating over SMB to each other? Like right. These very, very simple rules that can be employed with a GPO that take, you know, 10 minutes for one single rule. Why are we still in 2019 and having this easy access, easy lateral movement, and this ransomware being able to automate itself? Like, the safe mode stuff is really cool, but again, this comes back to, this is just another variant of ransomware. Like, let's get back to fundamentals and not allow this ransomware to be this effective.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if you reboot with safe mode and with networking support, if the firewall's turned off. I don't remember from that interview. I mean, of course, you've got the firewall enabled on your other host systems there, right? But yep. If you can reboot in safe mode and it lifts any outgoing restrictions that you had, it can definitely help you pivot into other systems that maybe aren't the other host on the network, but I should be able to talk to the domain controller, right? And maybe some other servers that are on the network, so.
Yep. And so going back to good identity management, like making sure that you're not spreading admin credentials that can access a file server or a domain controller at the level in which they can encrypt all those files, like going back to identity management. And then, again, outbound rules, yeah, you can turn that firewall down. And I'm not sure if that's the case, but if it is, if you still have good host-to-host firewall rules and each host has their own, like the inbound one is the one that's going to be dangerous once you've got that initial infection.
Right. Good stuff. The link to the article is in there, as well as to the segment that aired on episode 482 of Paul's Security Weekly. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on Hack Naked News today.
Always a pleasure.
With that will conclude this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. See you next time.